I'm Marisa Waddell with you on Issues and Ideas. Most of us know the name Sierra Club. It's been around a long time and was founded by John Muir in 1892. It's a huge and influential grassroots environmental organization and has led the effort to preserve and establish national parks and monuments all over the United States. Places like Sequoia and Kings Canyon National Parks, the Grand Tetons, the Grand Canyon. And it has been behind environmental laws like the Clean Air Act, the Endangered Species Act, and much more. Much of what the Sierra Club does, it is able to do through the efforts of local chapters like the Central Coast's Santa Lucia chapter, which has been working hard since 1962. And I have a couple of folks from the Sierra Club Santa Lucia chapter with me here today. They are chapter director Andrew Christie, along with Victoria Carranza, who is a member of the chapter's executive committee. Welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Marisa.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to have you. And you're here for several reasons. There's a lot going on with the Santa Lucia chapter. There are also some important things going on legally. And also there's a big anniversary, the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. Let's start, though, by talking about the background of the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club. You've spearheaded establishment of Montaño de Oro State Park, the Santa Lucia Wilderness Area, much more. What has the Santa Lucia chapter done?
We also stopped the plans for quarrying Morro Rock as a gravel quarry in the mid-60s. There was a plan to put an LNG tanker port off of Avila, and our members have been active in all of those attempts. Of course, the big one was the attempt to bring offshore oil drilling in 1986, and we were part of the effort that put a local ballot initiative together that happened in cities all the way up and down the coast that stopped that from happening with no onshore facilities for offshore rigs. Currently, we are working on the establishment of a national marine sanctuary for the Central Coast and a lot of clean energy and global warming issues.
Victoria, tell me about the establishment of the marine sanctuary locally.
That's actually one of the first issues that I got involved with in our chapter, where I went back in 2010 to Washington, D.C., and took some of our local legislation that we wanted to see pass. Essentially, we're focused on the San Luis Bay waters in Avila area. It would protect the waters from offshore oil drilling and any toxic waste and dumping in the area. We've been working with a coalition of folks, one being the Surfrider, the other being the Native Tribes here, the Northern Chumash Tribal Council, as well as some local fishermen.
And what does it take legally to establish a national marine sanctuary?
An act of Congress. So ultimately,
Literally. This
will be going to Representative Capps, who fortunately is the head of the Marine Caucus in Congress and is very interested in marine issues. But first we have to get, you know, everybody on board, a broad group of stakeholders locally, and hopefully the Board of Supervisors and the State of California in general to tell Lois, we think this is a good idea.
And how do you work with, say, local fishermen on an issue like this?
Basically, we gently but firmly seek to drive home the message that there is no regulation of fishing in a national marine sanctuary. That is their main concern, that this will be another level of restriction on telling them where to fish and how much they can fish and you can't fish here. That's not what a national marine sanctuary is about. It's about protecting the habitat, primarily the seafloor. Dumping of materials into sanctuary waters is prohibited. And the big one for us, oil, gas, and mineral extraction are prohibited in a national marine sanctuary.
What are some of the steps toward establishing such a sanctuary?
We are working with the Northern Chumash Tribal Council primarily on the nomination document, which has to be prepared to meet the designation criteria released by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They just released their new criteria, so now citizens around the country in coastal areas will be submitting nominations for new potential sanctuary sites.
What are your chances?
We think they're pretty good. It's a really impressive document at this point. We had a lot of help from the gentleman who actually drafted the original proposal for the County of San Luis Obispo in 1990, when Monterey Bay and the Central Coast were both bringing sanctuary bills forward in Congress. You know, politics is what it is. Monterey got one and we did not. But the documentation of all the reasons why we should are the same now as they were 20 years ago.
You're listening to Issues and Ideas. I'm Marisa Waddell, and I'm talking with Andrew Christie, who's the chapter director of the Sierra Club Santa Lucia chapter, and also with Victoria Carranza, who is a member of the chapter's executive committee. Tell me about the Central Coast Heritage Protection Act that's currently before Congress.
It's been going around in the news. About mid-May is when it started debuting in a lot of the local papers. Lois Capps has put together this bill. The main goal of it is to add additional wilderness areas and to protect some of the existing ones and expand them. It actually covers wilderness in all three counties, ours included in the neighboring ones.
It'll be San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara County, and Monterey County?
And Ventura.
And Ventura, Ventura, yes, yes. It would span about 150 square miles of federal land in San Luis Obispo County if the bill passes. So that has to make it up to Obama's hands. It's a good time to put this bill in because of the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act this year.
Okay.
And probably the most spectacular aspect of that is the Condor Trail, which
yes.
would go from L.A. County all the way to the northern end of the Los Padres National Forest in Monterey.
What is the involvement of the Santa Lucia chapter?
We have been working with the California Wilderness Coalition, which basically put this together and designated the areas. They went over the maps very carefully, you know, with us and with our longtime local residents in the area, and did the same in Santa Barbara to say what are the areas deserving of wilderness designation in your neck of the woods.
So can you be a little more specific about the places that might be preserved that aren't currently preserved because of this act?
There's the category of places that are currently designated wilderness. I think we have four wilderness areas in Slo
right.
County, which are designated for expansion. They want to add more land and make them more connected and set up wildlife corridors because isolated wilderness is generally not as good as connected.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the category of new wilderness areas that have not yet been designated. And I think there are five or six total. And it comes to 224,665 acres
wow.
total.
Now, Victoria, you mentioned the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act. Give us a little bit of background about that and why this is such a special anniversary.
It's bringing us into focus on reestablishing what the definition of wilderness means. It gives us a chance to reflect on what that means in this modern age. It's definitely a lot different than back in the days of John Muir and Aldo Leopold and whatnot. So how can we reestablish and look at the rewilding movement?
The Wilderness Act has essentially created a legal definition of wilderness in the United States. And not only that, it protected, I think, over 9 million acres, right, of federal land throughout the United States.
For starters.
Mm-hmm.
Today, it's about 110 million acres.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing else like it in the world in terms of what it did for public lands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of important things happened in 1964. The Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Wilderness Act had an equal impact as turning points, watershed moments in our society and this country.
What is that definition?
What is
wilderness?
From the Wilderness Act, a wilderness in contrast with those areas where man and his works dominate the landscape is hereby recognized as an area where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man, where man himself is a visitor who does not remain. I think Stuart Udall, who was the Secretary of the Interior for the Kennedy administration and really one of the primary architects of the act, said this is not just about preserving pieces of our country as it used to be, but preserving our national character.
What's at stake, Victoria, for our community and our natural areas as we grow on the Central Coast?
It's certainly a question that enters my mind in regards to my profession, in regards to how I see the world and the eyes of my great-great-great-great-grandchildren, and just when I enjoy the open space that we have here. More and more, we're seeing that sustainable development and communities are wanting to expand here, and we need to be very cautious about how we lay out the floor plans to the ways in which we're going to build human settlements. Creating a good ecosystem balance is something that we talked about earlier. We need to be aware that we are a part of the carbon cycle, we're a part of the water cycle, and not to harness it for our own ownership.
Andrew?
Well, actually, I think it ties into the Wilderness Act, pretty directly, because one of the most important things it did when it passed in 1964 was it gave citizens the right to simply bring their wilderness proposals to their congressional representative. Up until that time, it had just been the purview of federal resource agencies who would decide administratively, here's what we're going to do, and they would announce land use decisions.
We hear so often the word sustainable growth, sustainable development. What does that mean to you, Andrew?
Well, it's one of those words or terms that has been so abused that we're now reluctant to use it because it means everything to anybody, whatever they want it to mean. I would hope for most people, whatever word they use to express the concept now, sustainable means not just we can keep on using it as a resource, but a resource that will not be impacted regardless of our use so that it still works for all the life that depends on it.
So the Santa Lucia chapter of the Sierra Club is having an event coming up very soon, and it's partly a celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Wilderness Act, and it's partly a fundraiser, and it sounds like it's a lot more. Victoria, tell me about the Face of the Wild.
It's a very metaphorical event. The event is created to celebrate, yes, just like you said, the Wilderness Act and the 50th anniversary this year. We are going to be having tons of things for people to get involved with there. The highlight is the masks that are being made by local artists. And they're creating, from their mind's eye, different wild animal masks and floral masks of different plants. And just, I can't wait to see them. I haven't seen everything yet. And so they'll be mingling around and dancing. There's going to be some silent auction and live auction items. We have a living art piece. We have a local cattle rancher who's going to be donating some grass-fed beef.
What's a living art piece?
Oh, it's a vertical succulent garden, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, so lots of interesting items, not the typical things you would see. And we have actually a trip out on the Carrizo led by two naturalists that are going to be taking people out there for a picnic. Mm-hmm. We have wild edible forest hike, folks that are going to be harvesting local foods for you and taking you out on tour. So
We have a seven-day Africa photo safari at a South African lodge.
Yes.
With no minimum bid.
Wow. Well, that's really exciting. No minimum bid. That's
Kind
of surprising, too. And we're talking about the Face of the Wild, which is going to be August 3rd. It's a Sunday, 6:30 at Tolosa Winery, right?
Yes.
And so it's a fundraiser. It's a dinner. Tapas, you said a little earlier.
And it's $100 a ticket. And as we speak, there are still tickets left, but that may not be the case if, as you rush to the phone, ladies and gentlemen, so sorry.
Right. There's only about 20 left. So I really do hope that, people can adhere to this and visit on our website and get some tickets for the event because it's going to be a blast.
And I've been talking with Andrew Christie and Victoria Carranza of the Santa Lucia chapter. Before we go, if someone wants to become involved with the Sierra Club locally, how does one do that? Or how does one contact you for any other reason?
On the web, it's www.santalucia.sierraclub.org. And you will see on there a button to join or give. And you will see on there also a listing you can click on that will open up all of our hikes and outings for the next 2 months. And you will also see all of the primary issues that we're involved in right now. And then you can just send in your membership to San Francisco, not us, we're a chapter. You then become a member of the Sierra Club where you live here, the Santa Lucia chapter, and then you will get our newsletter every month, and you will get the Sierra magazine as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Andrew Christie and Victoria Carranza of the Sierra Club, Santa Lucia chapter.